Well, good morning. And man, what, Connor, Nate, thank you guys so much. Didn't they do a great job this morning? Amen. I've sure heard of dueling pianos, but that's a first, dueling guitars before. There were times when my eyes were closed and I was worshiping, and I would have sworn there were more instruments on the stage. It sounded so good. Thank you guys so much. Well, let me welcome everyone here today. And if you're a guest visiting with us for the first time, or you've been coming for a little bit but have not yet done so, we want to encourage you to do this. At the rear of the auditorium, at the back exits there, we've got a couple of booths set up. It just says guest welcome there. And we have deacons at those booths. And they're there for one reason. That is, we just want to share a free gift with you as our token of thanks for choosing to worship with us, and also find out more information about you and your family and how we can engage and better minister to you all. So if you've not yet done so and you're a guest here at Northside, we would encourage you to do that today. Let me also say a word of thank you. Several of you participated this weekend with one of our local ministry partners, Portico. Portico is a great ministry here in our community that we are blessed to have, and they stand on the front line. You know, the church always says that every life is a gift from God and every life has value. Well, Portico stands on that front line to ensure that that's the case here in Murfreesboro. And many of you helped out this weekend, and I just want to say as your pastor, thank you so much. Also, let me remind you that we'll be taking a church vote on Sunday, October the 24th. All right, still got a couple weeks notice there. And that is for some much-needed renovations here at the church, from restrooms to corridors to office space and other enhancements. The total estimated cost of that project is around $1.2 million. And as I shared last week, I'm so excited to say we will be cash flowing the entire project, meaning all of the money to do all of the work is already in the bank as a testimony to so many of you and your faithfulness in giving. If you were not here last week, then I can encourage you a couple things. First of all, if you open the church app, there's specific information that will probably answer any question you have there as soon as you open the church app. Or if you go to our website, you can find it there on the homepage also. Or simply go and watch last week's message, right? That's not just a plea to get you to bump up our numbers there, but in the context of that message, I'm going to make you watch the whole thing just so you can get to that point. But I share all the details, including renderings and sketches and all the specific information. So you can find all that there. If still unable to locate the information you need, please feel free to contact the church office, specifically myself or Corey Scholes, and we would be happy to meet with you and answer any questions you may have. But again, we'll be voting on that on Sunday, October the 24th in both services. And for the last 25 weeks, today being week number 26, we have been walking through the book of Acts together, page by page, chapter by chapter, story by story, looking really at the birth, certainly the empowerment of the early church. And what we've seen played out is with the early church, they're in the face of persecution, the early church was laser focused on the gospel. In fact, our subtitle for this entire series is just that, United by the Gospel, because the gospel of Jesus Christ that always has and always will unite the church, and at the end of the day, will unite our world in unity and peace as well. And what we've seen played out is though they were faced with persecution, and often I say that what the early church faced, we can read about it, but it's hard for us to fathom that persecution. It's hard for us to really put ourselves in a position where we can truly understand what it means to be threatened because of sharing the gospel, or arrested or beaten or even killed or attempted to be killed for the sake of the gospel. And so many times, as I'm sharing that week after week, a friend is brought to mind, and it's our guest speaker this morning, Aimer Safadi. Aimer is a dear friend that Christy and I met several months ago when we were in the Cincinnati area meeting with church planters there, and they are one of the church planters that we are talking with and our deacons are working through right now and our partnerships there, and you're going to be hearing more about. But Christy and I sat at a table just listening to this brother's testimony, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone through the study in Acts, and I think, man, that's Aimer. And so a couple months back, I talked to him and said, man, you've got to come and just share your story. And so I would love for you to give your attention this morning to my dear brother, Aimer Safadi. Aimer.
Good morning, church. It's an honor and privilege to be with you this morning, and thank you for the invitation. I'm here this morning to share what our Lord movement in our life, in my life, and his calling into my life, and how God equipped and led me over all the situation and also my family to be his servant. Also what God did and doing among us in Cincinnati and all the state and also the Arab world, even we are still here. Thank you again for the invitation, and please forgive my poor English and my poor accent, and also if I said any word wrong. Thanks so much. My name is Amer Safadi, and I'm the church planter in Cincinnati for the Arabic church there, the first Arabic church in Cincinnati. And with me this morning, my lovely wife, Vicky. I'm from Jordan, and Vicky from Morocco, and we met in 2009 in Lebanon in the Christian conference there, and we got married in 2011 in Jordan, and God blessed us with a 27 years old daughters, Joanna and Agape. They are in the kids ministry this morning. But between knowing Vicky and we got married, and our engagement, we was in Morocco, and there's a great things I love to share with you about Morocco. In 2010, when we was in Morocco, I went with my mom to get engaged there with Vicky, and during that time, the police start coming to the houses in Morocco and searching about Bibles, about anyone Christian there, and about any small groups or Bible study groups in Morocco, because they're not allowed anyone to worship Jesus in Morocco. They are 100% Islamic background. And we start moving. I'm going to visit there, but we start moving the Bibles from house to house, from building to other building, so that the police can't catch any Bible, because if they catch any Bible inside houses, they will take all the house people or family to the jail, and it will be more trouble there. And in that days also, they kick all the missionaries out of Morocco. That's happened in our engagement. And after that, in 2011, we got married in Jordan. And I'm here today not to preach, as Pastor David asked me. I'm here to share my testimony and why we are here in the United States, and what God did and doing among the Arab and Muslims community through us by his grace. And that reminded me with the verse from Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? My story starts when I started going to the school in Jordan. Since I was the first grade in the public school in Jordan, my teachers and my classroom students was pushing me to go with them to the mosque inside the school. And also the Islamic program teacher wasn't allowing me to go out of the classroom once he start teaching about the Islam and talking badly about the Christianity. And that's one of my right as a Christian kid, to go out of the classroom when the Islamic program start. But he wasn't allowed me to go, and he keep talking about the Christianity badly, reading the Quran and sharing about the Islamic. And as many of the Christian kids in public school in Jordan and Middle East, teachers and the students was treating me badly, and always trying to do problems for me and with me. Because they believe I'm infidel and against their true God, that they believe is the true God, and if I didn't transfer to be a Muslim, they will kill me one day. That's what they was sharing. But now I'm so thankful for our Lord, as Joseph said, They thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. From the darkness to the light of God, God brought me. I'm so thankful to our Lord because he used that old situation to equip me and to prepare me for his great ministry with Arab and Muslims community, and to help me, and that helped me a lot to understand the Islamic mentality and the history of Islam from their book and from their side, also to know the Quran very well, and also to knowing a lot of keys to how to share the gospel with Muslims, and how I can explain for them also from the Bible or from their book, if that necessary for them, about salvation, about how Jesus is the Lord, and in the same level that they can understand. God always encouraged me with the Timothy 1st, 2nd chapter, verse 3 and 4, to share the gospel with Muslims, even what danger that will brought to me. The 1st Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4 said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." And that start to be very clear for me when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I got baptized at the last year of my high school in May 2nd, 2002, was the day that God brought me from the darkness to his light. And from that day, God started preparing me for his purpose, or great purpose for my life, and his calling to my life start to be very clear. As he was talking to me clearly from Jeremiah 1st, verse 7 to 10, But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone and I send you, and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid from them, for I am with you and I will secure you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant." Starting from 2005, God used me to be a coordinator for the evangelism ministry teams inside Jordan and also outside Jordan in Middle East. He equipped and lead mission teams to share the gospel with others and to start small groups or home groups under all the danger situations from the government and the Muslims too. Also leading missions trip to Marseille and France to share the gospel with immigrant Muslims from North Africa. Also to be coordinator for 27 home groups in Jordan, or Bible study groups in Jordan, and pastor assistant at my church. And after that, God opened a great door for us to share the gospel with the Syrian Muslims refugees that start coming to Jordan through 2011, after the ISIS went there, and they came from different villages and cities in Syria, and most of them was like more than 99% was Muslims, and most of them, or majority of them, was ladies with full cover, and I have video. Maybe you can see a little bit if you can just put the pictures. And this is some of the Syrian that they came to Jordan, and God used us to serve them through our church. Isn't easy for them to come to the church, and it's not easy for us. It's very dangerous for them and for us to enter the church and to hear the gospel. In the first, we was just helping them to give them some foods and some things that they needed. But after that, we start thinking, why not go to visit them in their houses? We started praying, and God opened that door. We start visiting them in their houses, and we start sharing the gospel with them, building more relationship with them. And after that, we started praying, what the next step, God? What the next step? And God led us to start a worship service for the Syrian refugees. And that one of the worship services, not just coming to take food from the church. They attend. They worship God, worship Jesus. And they, after that, they hear the gospel, asking questions. And most of them prayed with us. That part of the things God used us with it. And that's remember us with the John 10:16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. My wife and I, with the team, God use us with these people, with this Syrian refugees, and all the glory to our Lord, some of them accept Jesus, and we start discipleship them in their houses, and we start small groups for them, and that start cause a lot of problems for them and for us. And when they come to the church, when we start a Bible study, a group for them, and discipleship them, that in the Islam, they left the Islam, and the Quran said, kill them. Any real Muslim, see them or see us, will kill us. That's the situation that we live on. And all that time, we serving that people in their houses or at the church, the government and the mosque did all the ways that they can. They try to stop us. But God protect us and all the team from them, and we kept serving them. But at the beginning of 2016, when the mosque saw the government can't stop us and all the ways can't stop us to serve these people, because God told us to serve these people, because God wants all the people to know about him. They can't stop us, so they paid for mafia to come and kill us. Not just to Syrian people, but to kill me and my family that we are leading this ministry. One of the mosque imam and leaders, he paid for this mafia and to kill us and stop this ministry. And after one Sunday, I was leaving the church, and one of the church members just ran back to the church, and he said, don't go out. I asked him why. He said, there is four men with guns down in front of the church asking about you and your family. They want to shoot you. Don't leave. So I stepped back, and we called the police. The police came. A few minutes, the police left, and these people stay at the front of the church. The police don't want to put hand between Christian and Muslims people. Don't want to do any problem inside the country. So the main pastor went down to talk to them, and he took them to the side of the church. At that time, God protection, I left the church. And I stay a little bit, weeks inside the home, and after that, I back to the church with cab, with a lot of, carefully, and a lot of the church member was watching the street till I come safely and go to home safely. That's not stay longer, because after that, they know that I came to the church like that. So they start searching about us more and more. They find my family, my parents' home. They went to my parents' home. They shot the whole windows and doors with guns. My dad went to the police station to report them. The police station gave my father's name to this mafia that he report you. After that, I moved my parents to another area, to safe area, and I stayed near to the church, because my home is around like half a mile from the church. So Days after that, they find where we live. We turn all the lights off. We stayed more than 3 days inside the home, no lights. Just to because me and my wife and the kids, we was at the home. After that, in a few days, most of the church members and youth, they came to the our street. They kept watching the street and to find a way we can leave the house to another area that be safe for us. And that day, by God protection, by God grace, we moved from that place, that area, to another area close to the airport in Jordan, to safe area, and we start a Bible study and a prayer group in our home there. A month later, I thought that everything is done, it's safe to go back. I start to go back to the church. First week, it was good. Second week, I felt there is something is not right. Most of the church members was watching the street for me until I come. They come to the church, and they watching everything. After the second week, I received a call from one friend. He have a store next to the church, and he said, don't come back to that area, not just to the church, to all the area, don't come in. Don't allow anyone from your family to come in. They have your picture, your wife's picture, your kids' picture, your family pictures, all your family pictures, and the car plate number and all the details about you. And they share that with all their friends and mafias. So any mafia, any one of them will see you, or you, one of your family, any Muslims will see you, will kill you, will shoot you, and direct, and that will be awesome for them. So I stayed in my home a little bit, and after that we start moving in that area, the safe area that we moved to. And a few weeks after, we felt every place we go, there is people following us. There is people following us. So in that time, I start praying, God, if there is anything you want to share with us, and I'm still, my ears is the, I close my ears and I can't hear to you, hear your voice, or you prepare us for the new faith level and the new ministry that you want us to serve in Jordan under all this dangerous situation. We don't care if that what God want to be just serving in Jordan under this situation, because there is a lot of people live that. And that, when I was talking with God, I was mean this verse, and also God encouraged us with this verse, Acts 20:24, but I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God grace. At that time, God started showing us a big picture, a clear picture, that a lot or the majority of the Arab and Arab people went to U.S., to Europe, to Canada as immigrants or refugees. And there is a few pastors or a few servants that know the language very well, know the culture very well, know the Bible, and know the Quran, to share the gospel with them. And not afraid from the Muslims to share the gospel with them. There's a few. So we start praying and fasting, and God give us all the signs clear. And we moved first to Cincinnati in the end of 2016. We stopped in Cincinnati, and God gave us a small group, all of them from Muslims background, Sunni background. And after that, God gave us one family from Alawi background. And we started that small group, and just a few months after, we thought all the fight will be from Muslims, from the evil, just pushing the Muslims on us. But that time was different a little bit. And a Christian organization, Arabic Christian organization, that their website said that they share the gospel with Muslims and teach the American churches how to reach Muslims, they start fighting us. They don't want us to start a church in Cincinnati. When I ask them, why you do that? They say, because the church will cause a problem for our funds. We don't need any Arabic church here. And I found that there's five pastors was in Cincinnati. No one can start that church, and they left Cincinnati. My paper still is under process. So in that time, we start praying, God, what we have to do. We try all the ways to stay in Cincinnati because God give us a people to discipleship them and equip them how to share the gospel with others. We stayed 2 months more until May 2017. And the founder of that organization and his wife, they said, no one know you here in the state. We are here for 20 years. Even we lie on the church, it will kick you out of the state. So in that time, we started praying, and God opened the doors, and he started speaking for us about Milwaukee. So we moved in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in 2017, in June. And the first month, we met a lady from Jordan. And when we met her, she's a believer. And she said, for 16 years, I was praying, God sent us a pastor to Milwaukee to start Arabic church here in Milwaukee. Because my kids, my sons and daughter, was at the church when they was young. But when we came to U.S., they are far away from God. They didn't go to any church, they didn't pray, they didn't read the Bible, didn't have any relationship with God. This is why for 16 years, I was praying for God to send a pastor here. So we start a home, like a Bible study in her home. And her sons and daughter was at that Bible study group. And they prayed with us. But also there is a great things happened there. Her daughter, a friend, she's a Muslim girl. And she started attending not to understand what we are saying about. But she's just coming to ask a question to do a mess inside the group. We loved her. And we shared with her and we answered all her questions. 3 weeks after, she was asking to accept Jesus in her life. And she accepted Jesus in her life. And she's the faster growing in Jesus in all that group. And God, after that, connect us with other families from Arabic countries, from Syria, Assyria, Iraq, and Jordan too. So we start a church there, and we launched the church in July 2019. After we launched the church in 2019, in July 2019, we started praying, God, what's the next step? The church here is good. And what the next step for us? What the next city that have Arabic people, have Muslims, but don't have a church there? So we put a lot of cities to pray for, but Cincinnati wasn't one of them because we know what we'll face if we back to Cincinnati. So we started praying, and two from the group we start in Cincinnati in 2016, they sent text message and the same day at the same time. They didn't meet each other, but they send messages asking about us and asking us to come back to Cincinnati because they are in need for the Arabic church and they want to grow in faith more and more because there is nothing for them as Arabic church here. So I asked them, why you send now? Why is not before a week or more or not after a week or more? They said we felt that we have to send that right now. So we put Cincinnati and with this list, and we started praying, and God said Cincinnati. We prayed more, and God said Cincinnati. So it wasn't easy to just say, oh, Cincinnati, let's go. No. We fast a lot, and we prayed a lot, and when God gave us all the signs, we said, okay, we'll move to Cincinnati just for 3 months. If God give us the clear signs. The clear signs was new people don't believe in Jesus, except Jesus with us in the first three months. Muslims and the Christian people. When I say the Christian in Jordan and the Middle East, we say the Christian about the people born in the Christian family, but they not believe in Jesus, or just all the family maybe didn't believe in Jesus, but they just with the identity card that the government give it to them, they are a Christian. The second sign was God to give us a church, have outreach, and they love Muslims, love all the international people, and don't afraid from Muslims. They open their church to start an Arabic church there, and to be in our back against any people will fight us or will be talking about us badly. And the first week we was there, God give us the church there that we met now in Lakota, in Westchester, in Cincinnati. They have the ESL, and the ESL is the English second language. A lot of international people come to the church, stay from 6 to 7, just talking with the other families. Great field to reach them and to share the gospel with them. After that, they go to a classroom. I went on Wednesday. The pastor, he invited me to go to the ESL, and it was the first Wednesday. I went there. I was praying, God, give us that sign clear if you want us to be here. There is an Egyptian family came in. And that Egyptian family, they speak English very well. I don't know why they came, not for English. God sent them for that place. I met them. I start talk with that man and to start building relationship, because the Arabic community is about relationship. You have to build relationship, trust, and after that, it's open to share the gospel or talk anything you want. They will accept. So I start talking to that man. I give him my number. I took his number, and in my way home, I sent him my address. I told him, just come through the week, any day, just come and drink tea with us. Grab your wife and come. In the same moment, he called me, and he said, I thought you sent me my address. We are living in apartment luxury. He said, we are in the same apartment luxury, but the next building. I said, please come and join us today. They came, he and his wife. In the first 5 minutes, he said, we are living in the second floor. Do you know who's living in the first floor? I said, no, we are just new here. He said, there is an Iraqi family from Muslim background down. I told them, do you know them? He said, yeah, it's very, very, very close friend. I said, please invite them. They came. We spent the rest of the night just sharing the gospel, talking about God, and praying with them. And we said, God, thank you for this sign. But still, we need more. And after a week, it was the backpacks free for kids, and Lakota was doing the Christmas party, early Christmas party, to give these people bags. And in that time, there is Egyptian family came, and there is Egyptian man, sorry, and Jordanian man. The pastor was talking and preaching and sharing about the gospel, but I was sitting in front of them and talking with them about the gospel and about how we'll start the church in Cincinnati. By faith, I bought the date, 22nd of December, 2019. It's around 4 months after we arrived, or 3 months. And they said, yeah, we'll be there. They are Christian, but not believers. One of them is Roman Orthodox, another one is Orthodox. So in 22nd of December, 2019, we started the church, the first gathering, with 22 people, not all of them from Arabic world. After that, God start doing great things and among us, and He invite the people, not us. And every week, the door open, and new people come to the church. New people come to the church. After 3 months, we was 55 members, all of them from the Arabic countries, 9 different countries, from Muslim background, Christian background, Alawi background. One of the great story happened at the ESL. When we start the ESL, the There is a lady named Iman. She came to the ESL with her daughter, and they was with cover. Iman is Aziza's mom. So Aziza was with Vicky, and Iman was sitting at the table, and she looks sad. I went to her, I just said one word. "You look sad." She started crying. I told her, "Why you cry?" She said, "I lost my son a few months ago with accident in at the highway in Cincinnati." I told her, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." I told her, "I will pray with you in Jesus' name, not Isa's name." She said, "Do you accept that?" She said, "Yes." I told her, "Because we not believe in Isa, we believe in Jesus, because there is difference between Isa and Jesus. Sometimes we use Isa, but that's not the real name for Jesus, that the Islamic name. That don't have a power of Jesus, but Jesus have the power to transfer the people and to change their heart." So she said, "Yes." I prayed with her in Jesus' name, and after I said, "Ameen," she said, "I felt peaceful. There is something happened in my life. Do you have anything here at the church for the Arab?" I said, "Yeah, we have a church, but in that church, we teach the Bible, and we talk about Jesus clearly. Do you like to come?" She said, "Yes." She came on Saturday. We do our service on Saturday night. She came on Saturday. And in that Saturday, we had a meal after the service. So we finished the service around 8. She stayed until 11 with the families. She don't want to go back home. She loved to stay. All the church members showed the love for her. If the Friday after, Vicky was just like asking about her and called her. She said, "Can I come tomorrow also?" Vicky told her, "Yeah, sure." She said, "I will not come just to sit and hear what you are saying. I love to hear the Bible or the gospel, but there is something I have to share with you." Vicky asked her, "What you want to share?" She said, "I used to use the depression pills since my son passed away until last Saturday. From last Saturday until today, I didn't use any, and I don't feel I need any. Can I keep coming to your church?" Just encourage, or to be like sharing a small word. "Can I pray with you?" That make a difference in her life. There is a key. Sometimes I don't have to talk a lot. It's not about my words. It's not about my wisdom. It's about the Holy Spirit touch her life. And you can also share the gospel with others, with the Muslims, with everyone. The Muslims is very not danger. It's a human. Even what we are seeing them. Even ISIS is not danger. The spirit that leading them is the danger. So when we prayed for that spirit, we can share the gospel with them. They are human. God changed a lot of people's life. One of the two guys that sent me a message when I was in Milwaukee, that the people that we was starting a group for them, our Bible study group for them, one of them was with ISIS. And now he's a great believer. Sharing the gospel with others without afraid from anyone. So I encourage you, there is a lot to talk about it, but I encourage you this morning. Do not pass a day without sharing the gospel with others. God put you around people, maybe neighborhood, maybe in your work, maybe the university, maybe inside the school, or inside the stores. People, you seeing them, maybe will not see them the second day. Don't be afraid to share the gospel with them. Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16 said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God put people around you to share the gospel with them. Don't be afraid. They all need Jesus, as we always need more of him in our life. And remember, Romans 10, 14 and 15 said, "Who then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" A preacher, not just the one he go to the stage and share the gospel. Everyone have a word from God in his life. Just a testimony, your testimony, how you accept Jesus, how God touched your heart, share it. That will make a difference. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" I feel God asking this question for all, for me and all of you this morning, as Isaiah 6 and verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me." Can you say, "Here I am, send me"? Sometimes we're thinking, the people in Middle East, God sent me to the Middle East, God sent me to North Africa. There is a lot of people around you here. You can be missionary in your place, for your neighborhood, for the people inside the park, inside the stores, and everywhere. Just share your life. Share your love. Take care about others. And I'm praying God encourage me, encourage you to always, every day, to share the gospel with others. Amen?
Thank you so much for sharing.
Share a couple things. He mentioned they have Saturday evening service, and if you think I go long, how long do you guys usually go? How many hours?
Usually the service is 1 hour and a half, but we have fellowship 3 or 4 hours after that.
They go 3 or 4 hours every time they meet, right? Now consider this. Today's Sunday morning. My brother was going until about 11 o'clock last night, drove here. And due to a wreck on the interstate, they just got here. They've been driving all night to come and share as well. So thank you, brother, so much. Amen. Amen. You know, we are so blessed that doubtful a person in this room understands persecution as my brother and sister do. And that's a blessing that we have. But it's still there. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are facing that kind of persecution, who don't have the liberties, the freedoms, and the opportunities that we have today to share. And yet, just like in the early church, even under persecution, believers are empowered by that to go out all the more. What a shame that here in the States, we would allow a freedom to not empower us, but to silence us from sharing the gospel. Church, may we never be guilty of that. May we be encouraged by testimonies such as this, that we would be even greater witnesses to go and to share the gospel and to show the gospel with everyone.